Hello, I'm Vince Blackerby, Director of Operations here at Mountain Brook Baptist. I'm going to be reading our Project 119 reading for today. We're going to be reading from Numbers, Psalms, and Galatians. And I really, I like the way that we set up this Project 119, where it provides us with three distinct storylines in the Old Testament, then broken up with like a Psalms or Proverbs type middle, and then going into the New Testament. It's three distinct stories, and it's real easy to follow. Okay, I'm going to be reading from Numbers chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. And if you remember from our last reading, we have Balak and Balaam. Balak is the king of Moab. Balaam is a prophet that Balak has tried to get him to curse the children of Israel who are going through their land heading towards Canaan. And where we left them after our last reading, we had gone through a couple of attempts at having Balaam curse the children of Israel, and it ended up being a blessing. And it has really upset Balak, the king. So where we left him last was on top of a mountain, trying for the third attempt at a curse. And I tell you, it's not going to go well again. So we'll start reading on chapter 24, verse 1. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorcery as at other times, but turned his face toward the desert. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered this oracle. And this is the blessing that was supposed to be the curse. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eyes see clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. Like valleys they spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets, their seed will have abundant water. Their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. They have strength, the strength of a wild ox. They devour hostile nations and break their bones in pieces. With their arrows they pierce them. Like a lion they crouch and lie down, like a lioness who dares to rouse them. May those who bless you be blessed, and those who cursed you be cursed. So that is not what Balak was wanting to hear, and he sort of lets his anger go here in the 10th verse. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. And in the 12th verse, Balaam has pretty much had enough of this also. He responds with, Balaam answered Balak, Did I not tell the messengers you sent me? Even if Balak gave me this palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord. And I must say only what the Lord says. Now I am going back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in the days to come. So it's going from bad to worse for Balaam. We're going to go next to the Psalms, and we're going to read Psalm 32. If you were with us before, Psalm 31 dealt mainly with David in a desperate mode. Things weren't going well. It's great to follow up that with Psalm 32, which is really a praise song for the forgiving of sin and thanksgiving. You will notice as we read this, there's a Selah at each. The interpretation for that is varied. Since most of the Psalms were musical or songs, many think this is just a break between songs, so we'll treat it that way. I'll read it that way. Again, Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. So it's a more uplifting message there than we had in Psalm 31. Our last verses are going to deal with Galatians. We're going to be in Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26. And if you remember from the first part of chapter 5, it was Paul addressing the people of Galatia and really addressing the Judaizers who are trying to stick with Old Testament rules for both Jews and Gentiles, when really Paul is saying that with the death and resurrection of Jesus, all those rules have changed now. He sort of gives them now a warning, starting in verse 13, that you're forgiven by God, but keep the Spirit of the Lord leading you in all that you do. So, verse 13 through 26. You, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So that ends our reading for today. I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, Amanda. Dear Heavenly Father, we again praise your holy name. The blessings that you've given us are so numerous, and we thank you so much. Lord, we ask that you be with us through this day. Give us the strength of David and the wisdom of David, and help us as we go through our steps in our daily life with you. Be with us as we go through the rest of this day. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.